Hey, you, and welcome back to another segment here on Gems Podcast. With me today is a special guest by the name of Colin Kingsmill, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who Colin is so you can connect the dots and dive into this lovely conversation with him and I. So Colin Kingsmill is founding partner at Whole Human Coaching and a strategic advisor to Kalo. He is authoring a book entitled Fearless: Crossing the Bridge from Fear to Bliss. When people get stuck at critical transition points, he assists them in deconstructing the stories in their heads to reconstruct a new narrative to move forward, live their authentic selves, and thrive. Key importance on thriving and authenticity. He believes that we have lost touch with our shared humanity and have become distracted by division, identity politics, negative news cycles, corporate and special interest greed, and other forces that crush our souls. He is on a mission to help people rediscover their humanity, be fearless and free, and remember who they are and who they will be to change the world. I love that, y'all, because I always say each one of us was created to make an imprint, and that imprint is to drive impact. So without further ado, let's welcome the man behind it all, Colin Kingsmill.
Thank you so much for that introduction. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Colin. And I like to allow my guests to connect with the audience in a fun and personal manner. So there are two options you can choose from. We could either do a rapid fire 10 question game, emphasis on rapid, or an icebreaker. What are you in the mood for today?
Oh, gosh, that's good. I'll do the 10 questions.
Okay, y'all. We're playing rapid fire with Colin and Genesis. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Question numero uno. What is one word to describe you, Colin?
Fearless.
Fearless. Question two. If money was no option, where would you be headed?
I would be headed in exactly the same direction that I am now. Maybe a little faster. I don't know. But this is the direction of the charter.
Question three. What is your happy place?
In nature.
Question four. What is one piece of advice that someone gave you when you were younger and you still hold on to it today?
I think I forgot everything that people told me. I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember. I don't have a piece of advice from that long ago.
Well, I'm going to make this question five because I always believe wisdom is key. So what is one piece of advice you would give to the younger generation?
That's a very good question. Be yourselves.
Be yourselves.
Your authentic selves. Yeah. Be your authentic self.
I love it because each one of us was authentically created. Question six, what is one thing you wish you could change, if anything?
Nothing.
Question seven, do you have a mentor?
I do, actually. I do.
Okay. Yeah. I'll make this question eight. How important is it for people to have a mentor and or be a mentee?
I think it's really important. I think it's critical to have somebody outside of your head to talk to.
Question nine. You get three random acts of kindness to do per day. What would your three be for today?
My three would probably be to get out in the community and help others that are maybe less fortunate than me, or maybe a little older than me. So really just to get out into the community and help people that might be lonely, that might need some help, that just might need a conversation or their groceries picked up. So that's where I would focus. Three acts of kindness in the community.
I love that. And it's very heart-centered because it shows how you're giving to those who may not be able to provide for themselves. And question 10, it is our pass or play question, and here are the rules. If you pass, our roles are reversed, and this is where you get to ask me a question. If you choose to play, I ask one last question to wrap up rapid fire. So are you passing or playing?
I'll play.
Okay, last question. You just came across a windfall of money. However, mm-hmm. to get your proceeds released to you, you must contribute to three charities of your choice. What charities are you contributing to?
They would all be connected around to mental health. Mental health, young adults, and children.
I love that. Mental health, young adults, and children. And thank you, Colin, for playing Rapid Fire. I hope I hope you were able to have fun, and I hope you, audience, was able to learn a little bit more about Colin. So now we're going to switch gears into the main segment of the conversation, which is around the work that you do today, as well as some of your heartstrings. And I know one of the things you like to talk about is really unpacking childhood trauma so you could thrive as an adult. And the reason why I think this is so important is if you never deal with what you have endured in your childhood, sometimes those things will follow you into your adulthood and you're wondering, why do I feel like I have certain limitations? Why do I feel like I have imposter syndrome? Or why can't I achieve some of the things that I want to achieve? Not really realizing that you have certain remnants inside of you that could be mental, physical, emotionally, and spiritual blockage, which can come in the form of a trauma. So Colin, I want you to think about what I just said there. And I want you to tell the audience, number one, let's break down what trauma is, because there's trauma could be multifaceted.
Sure. So trauma, and let's try and distinguish between sort of large T trauma and small T trauma. Large T trauma is the kind of stuff that you see in the news that, or you hear reporting about it that is often violent and sort of extreme and might be related to, you know, horrible things like child abuse and other sort of atrocities around us. But small T trauma can be just as impactful, right? And by small T trauma, I mean things like a divorce, things like a family separation, things like the departure of a father or a mother, the passing of a father or a mother prematurely. There's all sorts of, you know, bullying at school, all of these things that might not be headline news, but they have an impact on you. And earlier when you said, you know, these things can affect you and you can carry them through life, I would argue that they absolutely affect you and that we almost always carry them through life. And it's only when you get to recognize the trauma, go back and dig it up and work on it and work through it, that allows you to liberate yourself from that conditioning. I think we grow up and we see life through these lenses, right? So you know, you and I have glasses on, and early childhood trauma, basically what it does, it's like having more glass in front of, you know, more lenses that, so you don't see clearly, right? And the work that I do is to help people deconstruct those stories, those narratives, those conditionings that they might have, to really just free them up, and so that their pathway is clear of those remnants from the past.
Yes, and I like that, because what you're doing is, in a sense, is going to discover that RCA, that root cause analysis behind some of that trauma. And I feel like here, personally speaking, that sometimes people allow fear to condition them to the point where they have suppressed that childhood trauma because of how it feels. So they've just buried it deep down, and they don't really realize that they have buried it deep down until another life circumstance comes along and it triggers some of those emotions that then drive them back to that same place that they were when that issue or situation has arise. And they're like, I thought I was over this. I never knew I was carrying this around. But that's what happens when certain people, depending on how you grow up, has been taught to suppress certain childhood traumas. And it could be culturally, it could be religion, it could be out of fear, so many different things. And I feel depending on what that childhood trauma is, it may be taboo to talk about it. So with you focusing on childhood trauma, Colin, what made you zero in on this area in particular?
Well, there was a couple of things that intersected for me in the last few years. And one of them primarily has been the work by Gabor Mate on compassionate inquiry, healing trauma, healing kind of societal trauma. And his latest book is called The Myth of Normal. And it's about healing trauma in a toxic culture. And that was really an eye-opener for me. But I also had a personal experience just recently of getting handed a gift of letters or an envelope of letters that were letters written from my mother to her best friend in the 1970s. I was never supposed to see those letters or receive them. And they confirmed to me a very different life than I thought I had. And I had suppressed it myself for my whole life, right? So I had suppressed what really happened in my childhood, right? And because of that, because what I did was I had trauma in my childhood. So I decided that I needed to be the antithesis of that experience, right? So I spent my whole life kind of healing this core wound of unworthiness, right? And then at 35, I realized that everything I was working for and doing was wrong. I was trying to get to these places. So anyway, long story short, it was both kind of this intersection of a personal experience going, oh, wow, that happened. I'd suppressed it my whole life. And look at all those lenses through which I had been working and trying to achieve things and be and do and have and explore, right? And then the reading and all of the sort of the new information. And Gabor Mate isn't the only one speaking about these things, but there's certainly an emergence of study in science and in medicine that untreated childhood trauma results in all sorts of conditions and mental illnesses, right? Or even simple things like social anxiety at work, right? So things like social anxiety at work or not being able to say no when you want to say yes and setting boundaries and things like that, right? All of these are symptoms of something that you haven't dealt with. So it's really good to liberate yourself from them.
Yes, I imagine so, because that's very powerful that it was personal experience, but it was also, you know, knowledge as you educate yourself more and you see the intersection there. And then in order to really help somebody in this area, you have to also understand from your lenses and perspective, even though what you go through may not be the same situation as that individual, you do have some remnants to help them relate and have some type of tools and modalities to help them kind of understand what is the childhood trauma at hand. Here are some tools and resources to help you deal with that. And then also show a sense that you are human, just like they're human, and you could begin to bridge and connect the dots. And I feel like sometimes when we get away from human nature and we start to be head heavy and think that it's all about us, we truly lose the sense of connection with somebody else who you may be able to really help and impact if you see it from a different lens and perspective. And I love the fact that you brought up the fact that we have glasses. So if I take off my glasses, I know that's Colin, but I can't make out all of his facial features, but it isn't until I put back on my lenses, y'all, that I get to see things with clear focus and precision. So sometimes it is switching our perspectives a bit to have clarity, to have focus, and to really own in And we have to do that internally as well as externally. And if you don't do the internal work externally, things may not come into alignment when you need them to be in alignment. So you'll be going around that mountain, metaphorically speaking, a lot longer than if you would just stop, pause, do the work internally, talk about it externally, get the tools and resources to really help you liberate and go from caged in, like as if you were in a prison within your own body and your own mind, to really thriving and living free in the outside world. Would you say that's a good analysis there, Colin?
I think that's a great analysis. I think that's a great analysis. And there's another resource, if I can mention one.
Yeah.
The recent book by Martha Beck called The Way of Integrity. And it's really kind of connected to this, about when you are not, like you just said, when you're not living in your authentic self, right? And you're people pleasing, or you're trying to be this, or you're trying to be that, or you're not being the person who you know inside. That is really, really detrimental. And it's not helping anybody. You think it might be, but it's not. So
yeah
and I completely agree.
I love that you brought up that other resource with Martha Beck, because that also feeds into another thing that you talk about is overcoming fear, which helps you deconstruct old narratives to build new ones and thrive. So that also goes back to the point is, if you don't address the things that are hidden, you're not going to be able to readdress things that you want to achieve, because certain things have not been addressed head on. And they always say, whatever gets done in the dark will come to the light, but it may not come to light right away. So you have to think about that trauma as that dark time, or think about it as that storm in your life. But remember, every time there's a storm, the sun does come out, the rainbow does come out, you know, after the storm passes. So that trauma was just your dark, gloomy season, but you're not always going to deal with that if you address it head on, is how I like to say it. And if I could be completely transparent, I recently went through trauma in my own life last month, where my husband and I had a miscarriage with our second child. And that was very traumatizing. But if I keep that internally and don't talk about it, because a lot of people don't talk about miscarriages, especially women, I don't know how that is going to help somebody else. But if I'm, you know, fully transparent and say, this is what I went through and it was traumatizing, then it may encourage another woman to share about her going through a miscarriage. And I recently shared that, and I encountered a woman who said, I actually had 4 miscarriages before having my son. And something as hurtful and heart-wrenching as a miscarriage ended up being a small silver lining to a conversation. And then we begin to truly connect, not just on a professional level, but also on a personal level. And it was freeing and liberating, because she's like, sometimes you don't know who to talk to about it because you don't know if that person has experienced that. And that's my example of trauma.
Look, I think that's a golden rule, right? That we talk about these things. So often trauma, whether it's recent or whether it's from the past or your childhood, we're not taught to talk about these things, right? You know, women aren't taught to talk about these things. Men aren't taught to talk about these things. In fact, we're really good at putting up walls and masks, right? So that's, you know, part of my work is really to help destigmatize mental health, right? And the conversations around mental health. You just have to look at the statistics in the United States on where all these issues are, right? And they're just getting harder and harder. So it's time to, you know, shout from the mountaintops and do the things like you're doing, the good work with podcasting and having these conversations. I think it's really, really important.
Thank you, Colin. And one thing that you did highlight early on in the conversation is bullying, which could be a form of childhood trauma, which I also endured that. And I feel like bullying, experience that during your childhood, can also make you standoffish whenever you enter the workforce, whether you're an individual contributor, or if you are, you know, the owner of a company, because you may not feel like you have all competencies in comparison to some of your colleagues that may be on the same level as you, or those above you because of the childhood trauma, because you were beaten down in that space. You don't feel like you are able to really be your whole self, given some of the things that have been said and done to you when you were a childhood. And that could be something that is carried over into your adulthood, which can affect your performance. But then you're wondering why you aren't performing optimally. But it could also be due to that imposter syndrome, which could stem from that childhood bullying. But if you never take time to really roadmap it out on why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I feel like, you know, I'm incompetent? Why do I have fear of speaking up or standing out in certain stakeholder meetings? Why do I not want to, you know, move into this position of management or leadership? There are so many different angles you could take it. But then if you don't really take time to understand who you are, not what they want you to be, then you're not really, you know, pinpointing those traumatizing experiences in your life. And I'm speaking from experiences because it took me a while to really, you know, be seen and heard based on that childhood bullying that I went through. And that's my personal story. But how many other people are listening and you feel like me? And you feel like, why does it even matter? Why can't I just come here, collect my coins or whatnot? Or why can't I just work on my business? But the thing is, sometimes you work in your business versus work on your business because of that childhood bully.
Yeah, very, very good point. That's a great analogy. And that's why so much of my work is deconstructing those narratives and those stories and those belief systems in your head, right? Let's break them down. Okay. We don't have to stay in sort of therapy mode for years on end, but let's discover and identify what the stories are, right? Break them down. Decide what the new picture of you is going to look like, right? And then break that down into achievable goals, and then rebuild the new stories and rebuild the new narratives. Because probably if you had any kind of trauma in childhood, or even just a difficult childhood with bullying, that is hindering you today, and you don't even know it. And the symptoms, because I think what happens also, Genesis, is we normalize not being normal. And that's what Gabor Mate's book is so good, right? It's the myth of normal, that we're supposed to be stressed out all the time, that we're supposed to have some anxiety, that depression is okay. And we just go and get medicated for it, right? But that's just not normal. I mean, it's been normalized, right?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And only because I was a psychology major for 2 years before switching over to supply chain and logistics. And I did not agree with some of the things I was learning in class. And I said, I don't believe that the pharmaceutical company is really there to help certain individuals in certain aspects, because pharmaceutical companies push drugs to physicians. Those drugs are then offloaded to the patient. And then some of those drugs cause side effects. And whenever those side effects happen, they then prescribe another drug. Or think about this way, in the mental health industry, there's so many children to young adults to adults that are on those pharmaceutical drugs for ADHD, for other things within that spectrum, schizophrenia, bipolar, you name it. And whenever they get on those pharmaceutical drugs, it's a lot harder to take those individuals off of those, you know, pharmaceutical drugs based on how certain wiring or whatnot changes within their body. And I'm not, you know, a doctor or anything. So I want to put that disclaimer out there. I am a supply chain professional, but sure. I did spend some time, you know, studying psychology. And I feel like if we don't address the root of, you know, Western medicine versus holistic medicine and et cetera, then I feel like all we're doing is pumping individuals up with certain medications when we're not really getting to the root cause. Yes, some individuals do need that medication to help them live, but that's not the end all be all for that individual to be functioning and truly thrive in society. And there are now more studies and cases that proven that some individuals who were on those pharmaceutical versus getting off certain pharmaceutical drugs that are doing other modalities has really thrived in society. But let's be real, pharmaceutical companies, physicians aren't going to tell you that because they're backed by so much dollars and money and whatever the insurance is going to pay for and cover and all of that. And I feel like sometimes people see it as a business and a money, but they don't look at the holistic aspect of that. And that's just, yeah, you know.
It's definitely a business. It's definitely, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, no, you're good.
I'm enthusiastically agreeing with you. And I think you don't even have to study medicine or be a doctor to know that in the United States, medicine is divided, the body is divided up into 41 compartments, right? 41 specialties, right? So nobody is looking at you holistically, right? Nobody is, you know, you'll come in and say, I have anxiety and depression, and you'll get two pills. But no, but the doctors won't ask you, well, what about your microbiome? You know, have you been on antibiotics lately? Have you depleted your microbiome? You know, nobody is looking at us holistically. Well, some people are. Kayla is certainly looking at people holistically. And I know there's this resurgence, there's this emergence of well-being and wellness and communities and tools that are becoming available to us. Thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness that there seems to be a shift. There seems to be an awakening around these things that were so taboo for so long.
Yes. And I feel like you and I are doing that by having these conversations that may not necessarily be conducive to some, but also giving somebody else a different perspective and vantage point of looking at things and not feeling like, oh, it's just, you know, one size fit all, because it's really not whenever it comes to childhood trauma or different modalities. Sure. And et cetera, to help get you outside of that. And I want to speak directly to you here right now, audience. And I want to tell you, if you feel like something is off, then always listen to your gut instinct and feed into that and ask for help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength, because you realize that your body is not firing on all cylinders, or you realize like you need some other help in some other areas. And that's okay, because none of us here are perfect, and we're all dealing with something, whether we speak it out verbally or whether we're dealing with it internally. I feel like nowadays some people say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Colin, or if you see it differently, some people say I'm fine because that's the easiest answer, so they don't have to go down a rabbit hole with them. If they were truly to open up and tell you, I'm not really fine, but I'm trying to become okay, because they're not sure how the person on the other side, the receiving end, is going to receive that or perceive it, because it's a difference between receiving it, listening and hearing it, with how you perceive it and how you begin to form assumptions and judgments, instead of asking that person, well, tell me a little bit more about that, or et cetera, or have you tried this or whatnot, because in today's society, there's a lot of judgmentalness. There's a lot of assumptions and et cetera. So when you ask somebody, hey, Colin, how are you doing today? And you may literally be, you know, smiling on the outside, but crying in the inside. But the easiest thing for you to say, I'm okay, I'm fine. And you just keep it moving, because you don't know how that other person is going to perceive a true, authentic answer. Would you agree or disagree with there, Colin?
Yeah, I would agree. I would completely agree. Again, that's connected to living in integrity, right? So if you've got people around you that don't want to listen, or just want to say, you know, yes or no, or sort of listen superficially, you need to find a new tribe, right? You need to find the tribe where you feel safe enough to open up and have authentic conversations. That's hard today, though, right? That's really hard. We live in a hyper novel, hyper, you know, distracted world, but there's the tribe is out there. So yeah, don't go this alone, you know. You shouldn't.
Exactly. And one thing I'm going to say before we switch gears here is, don't always feed into or believe what you see on social media. It's social media for a reason. People are only going to put the highlight reels and the picture perfect moments that make them look good or appeal good. They're not always going to go on there and say the naked, the ugly truth on really what's going on behind closed doors. Hence why another person came up with this new platform called Be Real, which is where you stop and you take pictures or videos of what you're doing right in that exact moment. So it causes you to really be authentic versus like, oh, let me put on this filter, let me get my background or all of this stuff, when in actuality, your life does not look like that every single day. And I could say here as a mother, some days my house looks like a tornado has ran through it because I'm a working mom, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm juggling a lot of things. So I'm not going to get on here and say, yeah, my house just looks like a model home all the time. No, some days laundry is piling up and I have, you know, to do it, tackle it on the weekends because we live in a hustle and bustle society. So let's just be real. Let's be authentic and let's have on integrity and don't feed into what people are putting out there because it's not always that way behind the scenes. It's social media for a reason. Now I want to switch gears, Colin, and ask you, is there anything that I have not asked you around childhood trauma or some of the other things that you focus on before we wind down to be respectful time constraint?
I think we covered a lot of bases, and you know, people can always reach out to me or you on social media or so, sorry, we just said don't go there, but there is a good side to social media too. It allows for connection, it allows for community, it allows for conversation. So reach out to either of us if you'd like to continue the conversation. But thank you for your time and your questions.
My pleasure. And y'all, I think one thing I would say here with social media, it's not always bad. It's not always good. Just dissect it with a grain of salt and what works for you, work it. What does not work for you, don't feed into it and really use it wisely and be mindful of your time because you could spend a lot of time on social media. I call it SNH, scoping and hoping and hitting all the likes that time actually passes you by. So really make sure that you're intentional in that space. And if you feel like you're seeing certain prompts of different things that's not making you feel good as an individual, just unsubscribe to whatever platform that is. If they keep showing you the same thing over and over, but it's not feeding your mind, feeding your body, and feeding your soul, you have a choice whether you're on that platform or not. So I just wanted to put that there. So Colin, please tell the audience how they could reach out to you. What is your website? And if you are on any social media, what is your primary platform?
Sure, of course. So my website is just colinkingsmill.com. That's easy. I'm on LinkedIn, same name. And sometimes I'm on Instagram too, but those are probably the only ones.
Awesome. And do you have a call to action for the audience today? Because what good is hearing this material if you're not going to take what you have heard and apply it so you can be better and thrive?
Yeah, I mean, the call to action is recognize it and you can start pivoting today. You can start telling yourself a different story as of now. Doesn't have to be this way.
And there you have it. You just heard Colin Kingsmill here on Gems Podcast. It has been a pleasure really unpacking this subject on childhood trauma, you know, deconstructing old narratives, building new ones, helping you thrive. Because remember, you have the vision. So write the vision and make it plain. But in order for you to really live and walk out your vision, you have to scrub away old mindsets, shake off those old paradigms, and really liberate yourself to who you want to be, not what the world or society wants you to be. Do some self-reflection and do the inner work so you can show up whole, optimally, and really be you, because you were created for such a time as this. And if you don't believe or walk out your purpose and your calling, then you're just going to be another tombstone, another urn, or et cetera, that passed time by not really igniting what you were created to do. And I definitely don't want that to happen. Life is on purpose and it definitely has intentionality behind it, but it is up to you to really ignite that. So if you have liked what you have heard today, please consider becoming a brand sponsor, donating to the mission. We're available on 40 plus audio platforms, and the video component is on YouTube by going to Gems with Genesis Amaris Kemp. And my big ask is for feedback, digital currency. Leave a review. Let me know what you like and what you don't like. If you resonate with Colin, please connect with him. You never know what a connection can do. We're not just here to say this for just him and I. We're here as a community. So I encourage you to really take action today to see a better future for tomorrow. So if you want to connect with us, all of our contact information will be in the show notes. Let's not make it a one-time. Let's make it an all-the-time experience. And I hope you have an amazing day. Signing out, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and...
Colin Kingsmill. Thank you so much.
Woo. That's a wrap, y'all.